Blog Talk Radio.
We want to go back to the old school for a minute. Hand clapping and toe tapping.
We want to visit our friends over in Chicago. Sister Albertina Walker, Inez Andrews, the Baron Sisters, Clay Evans, and Father Hayes and the Cosmopolitan Church of Prayer.
Bible Break, and we're live on this Monday evening, live on Blog Talk Radio, with me, Derek, and Miss Kay. And we just want to wish everybody a happy Monday, and we just want to say good evening to everyone on this day. We're live on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradiochaostalkwithderekoliveronline. We're on the phone lines at 845-277-9094. We want to start by saying we want to give honor to the Lord, the head of our lives. Just giving him all honor and credit on this day. Also, we want to thank our sponsors, Pepsi, Royal Caribbean, Pizza Hut, Finish Line, Outback, and Brentwood Publishing. For sponsoring us. And we hope that everyone had a great weekend and hope you had a great start to your Monday, and hopefully we can make it get better by leaving you with a little word from D&K Bible Break. Again, my lovely wife, Miss K, good evening.
Hey, good evening. Happy Monday.
Good evening, and we're going to set all that. Anything else you want to say before we jump into this?
I don't know. I don't have anything I need
to. You don't have anything? Okay.
Just happy to be here.
Amen. You may have heard me earlier on the same on Blog Talk. It's called Chaos Monday. Going back to my Chaos show. We was talking earlier today, so we was on earlier. I didn't want to confuse no one. But that was just me riding solo, doing a Chaos, which we'll probably do every Monday and some Tuesdays, but you'll get heads up on that. We'll definitely be on next Monday at 11 a.m. For Chaos Monday, if you want to join me for Chaos. We have different topics and things we'll be talking about as well, but that's on Monday. Again, tonight, we just want to thank everyone for joining us, for being here with us. I'm going to say a word of prayer. I'm going to have my wife open this up in prayer, and then after she gets done with prayer, I'm going to go into what we're going to talk about today. Amen? Amen. Go ahead. Can you open this up?
All right. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening. First of all, Lord, asking that you remove us. Anything that shouldn't be, we ask that you take it out and ask that you just let your spirit shine before us right now, Lord Jesus. We ask that you just anoint our voices, give us the right words to say, use us for your glory. Give us the right spirit, let the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. We thank you for just letting your will be done on this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to talk about tonight a little bit about are you ready? Clearing. What I mean by clearing is a thing that I've been dealing with the airports and in my household. Me and my wife, we got our mothers coming at the end of the month. Well, my mother-in-law, Miss Kay's mother, will be here next week, and then my mother will be the following week, and we're having them here for graduation. My wife's daughter is graduating. And having a graduation and open house and all that. So we got family coming in from out of town. And I got this subject, I got this thing just dealing with airports. And when you call now, the airport will ask, well, they didn't me. I don't know if they're doing it. Everyone with me, they asked me because I needed a wheelchair for my mother to come through. And they said, that's fine. And they asked a question. They said, has she had the shots? I said, yes, she had her shots, the COVID-19 shot. And they said, okay, well, we're going to do this thing, what we call clearance. We're just going to run her through. You know, she won't have to wait in line. They're just going to run her through. And they call it, it's called clearing. You know, she don't have to wait in a long line like you do at the airport to go through the check-in. They're just going to run her through clearance and take her up to the, to her gate so she can get on the plane. So be it. And I was thinking about that. We was talking about it, and the Lord was dealing with me about that. Are you ready if Christ was to come back? Are you ready if you was not, if for some strange reason you was to leave this earth? Are you ready? Are you comfortable in your salvation? Are you comfortable in knowing that you are saved and you're going to heaven? Or are you one of them type of people that have to wait and see if you're ready? And I kind of want to deal with that tonight. And are you ready? Can you clear? Can you go through without any hitch? Can you go through without any problem? Or are you one of them type of people you don't know until you get there? You know, sometimes, especially in Atlanta, you go to the airport. Atlanta Airport is one of the busiest airports in the world. And it's always a long line to go through the gate. It's just a long line, a long process. There's a lot of guards. There's a lot of things. You got to go through all of it. And sometimes it can take a good hour to get you to where you're going. You got to wait to go through that line. And sometimes it's okay when you're going through the line and you're waiting and you're moving because you're moving. The line moves. It doesn't move fast, but it moves at a pace. And you have to keep up because people want to push you to get you through. But if you've been cleared, if you've been already had the access, they'll wheel you up. You skip that and you go straight to your destination. They'll take you right to the gate so you can take off. Some people have to wait. And I'm wondering, are you waiting because you're in no hurry? You're just enjoy being in the line. There's no rush. There's no push. You just there, stuck. And as the line go, you go. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I get a little frustrated because I can't get to my gate. Even though I'm early and I got time, it just sometimes it gets frustrating. So my wife's going, you have your scriptures ready? Anything you want to add before
we
go further?
I do, but I want to. Yeah, I do. I want to add on to what you were saying because you kind of touched on it at the end of what you were saying. What I noticed, and this is in traffic or at the airport, wherever you go in life, if you don't prepare to get to your destiny and you're trying to rush and get somewhere, you may miss it. So you have to prepare. So you see people who don't mind waiting in the line because they make preparations to get there within enough time, and they don't have to rush and push and be stressed about, am I going to make my flight or not, because they prepared. And a lot of times we fail to prepare, and we're rushing, and we want to get mad at other people because we didn't do what we were supposed to do. So right now, everybody has the opportunity to prepare for their flight. So that way, when they get up there, there won't be any hiccups, and you will get clearance. Whether you get clearance to be, you don't have to go through the line and you just go straight, because some people will go just straight and they don't have to go through the line. But you have some people that do have to wait in the line. And in your waiting, you should be preparing so you don't miss your flight.
Amen. I just wanted to add that in there. No, I'm glad you added it in there. You want to read the scriptures before? I don't want to get too ahead of myself without putting these scriptures out.
All right. Sure. I'm going to be coming from Matthew 24. I'm going to start at verse 36, but then I'm going to skip over to 42 all the way through 51. So, again, it's Matthew chapter 24. We're going to start at verse 36, and it says, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." And I'm going to go down to verse number 42. It says, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant, whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, 'My master is staying away a long time,' and he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Again, that was Matthew 24, started at 36 and then went to 42 through 51.
Wow, going over this, I had saw this, and now I'm ready to preach. I better just calm down and try to talk my way through this, because like a servant, and when you're serving the Lord, you have to be doing something. Servant don't mean just sitting there waiting. So when you're serving the Lord, like this house, they were talking about, you're serving. And in most houses, I know we understand we get three meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's morning, day, and night. That's the three times we eat. And if you're serving like a waiter, if you're serving, you're serving your table. You're serving. You're always moving. You're always checking to see what's needed to be done, if anything at your table is needed to be. And what the scripture is saying is the same thing. We have to be serving the Lord continuously, morning, noon, night, serving him, not just sitting there. And a lot of people, we were talking about just a few minutes ago, about waiting in a line. And if you're not prepared, you want to blame other people, or you want to follow the crowd and not serve. And we have, myself included, in trying to be a better servant, to be a doer of God's word, morning, noon, night. We have to serve. We have to, because if you don't, and you get 1 minute you're serving, like a lot of people will serve in the morning. And I like to call that the people who go to church in the morning. But when you get home, you stop serving. Now, I'm not saying that you're not saved if you don't do anything. I'm not saying you're going to hell if you stop. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you can get caught up and he not know who you are. And because you're not serving, you don't have that relationship. And you don't have that clearance because he doesn't know you. If you only see someone every morning, but you don't see them in the afternoon, you don't see them at night, you don't have a relationship with them. You can't prepare to conversate with them. All you know is, okay, on a certain time, and it becomes like you're not preparing yourself. And we have to prepare ourselves. Our mothers are coming. We have to, me and my wife, we have to prepare ourselves months, weeks in advance because they have special needs. There's certain things we have to make sure that they have. We have to prepare ourselves. It's a morning, afternoon, night job to prepare. Now, we just told them and they just popped up over our house tomorrow, we would not be prepared. We would not be prepared. It's a process. It's not a sprint. This is something that you have to do on a continuous basis every single day, every single afternoon, every single night. You have to be serving the Lord. Because if you don't serve him, you're liable to get caught up in the crowd with not knowing who he really is, just doing something just because that's what you're supposed to do. I'm going to use an example, my house that we live in right now. For the first 3 years we've been here, I haven't done anything. I pay someone to cut the grass, and that's it. Don't get the edges cut nice and neat. Don't do anything. And there's a lot of wear and tear on the house. Now that we decided we're going to stay a little bit longer than what we anticipated, I started doing some work. And this work does not end in one day. It does not end. It's continuously working on my house. And the house looks really nice when you edge it up. It looks really nice when you get all the grass and the leaves and everything up. But it's not something you do one time and you stop. You have to continuously do it, because if you don't, now you didn't got your house all edged up, everything. Now you got to worry about the bugs coming inside the house. There's always something to do. You should never be not doing something in the house of the Lord. We ought to be serving. Tonight, we're talking about serving him in all three phases: morning, noon, night. Morning, noon, consistently serving him. I'm sorry, wife, go ahead.
I'm just going to add to what you were saying. So with this being a servant, in my study, what I learned, the word servant is never capitalized. It's never used as a title of nobility. So it's not like somebody can stick their chest out and be higher than anybody because they're the servant. There's no capital S there. So we are all equal, and we are all servants of the Lord. So we should all be doing the work of the Lord. It doesn't matter about titles, or you're according to the Lord, he has no respect of person. So just because you got a man-made title does not mean that you're higher than anybody else. So we should all be servants unto the Lord. A servant of God, they're dependable and trustworthy. They're praying people, and they give God glory in whatever they do. So if you want to be a great servant, you need to be dependable and trustworthy. You need to be praying, and you need to give God glory no matter what. Even when your situation doesn't look like it's going to go the way you want it to go, you need to be praying. My husband just mentioned, as far as the house goes, we've been praying. I got a vision board with my house on it for the last 2 years. Okay, the Lord, just because I got it on there, that don't mean the Lord said it's time. So, okay, we're going to settle in. I'm trying to rush the process. Okay, I'm going to slow it down. And we're going to do what we're supposed to do right now, preparing for what God has for us in the future. So you got to prepare, and you got to take care and maintain what the Lord has given you. If the Lord has given you the ability to work in the hospitality or the ability to work with the youth or whatever the Lord has you doing, do it to the maximum to get God the maximum glory. So be a great servant unto the Lord. If I can go back to number 42, it says, therefore, keep watch because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. So in other words, the disciple must remain prepared for his Lord's coming. So we got to remain alert. We got to be awake at our post. If we're out doing this and that, and the Lord can come at any time. And not so much, okay, the sky is going to crack open. Whenever the Lord calls you is when he calls you. You could be shopping in Walmart. You could be at the mall. If the Lord decides to call you at that time, you should be prepared and you should be ready, if I can add that. And then I'm going to go back to 46. It said, it will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. So whatever your so is, whatever that so is, while you're waiting on the master to return, find yourself doing it as if the master was right there. A lot of the times, you know, in the work world, we do, my mom's calls my work voice. I'm not going to say what she calls it, but my voice is more professional when I'm at work. And I speak a little bit more clearer so my members can hear me better. I'm not going to use any slang. So we should be doing things as unto the Lord. It's not that you being fake, or do what the Lord has assigned you to do to the best of your ability. And at the end of the day, the Lord's light will shine through what you're doing if you're doing it with the heart of the Lord as a servant of Christ.
Amen.
There you go, husband.
Amen. No, that was very well said. And she mentioned a vision board. I just want to say this because everything on the vision board last year came to pass.
Yes.
Set the house. And when I say that, when you're working for the Lord, the Lord will do things, open doors. He will give you the desires of your heart. And if he hasn't given you, if you put 10 things and he gave you 7, thank the Lord for the 7. There's a reason the other 3 didn't come through. It wasn't luck. It wasn't by choice. It wasn't by design. He has a plan for you. I'm in belief that the reason we can go get a house. Getting a house isn't the issue. It's getting the house we want is the issue. The house we desire is the issue. We're not going to settle. And so many Christians settle because they don't want to wait on the Lord. And when I use the word wait, that means serve. That doesn't mean just sit there and don't do nothing. Don't nobody want to serve the Lord no more. It tickled me. Something happened on Saturday, and I saw someone, and they said, this is what I do. I've been doing this for over, and not that I knew or bragging, but when you're serving the Lord, you just be in places. You're doing things. You're happy. You have the joy because you have a relationship with the Lord. Can't no one come between you and the Lord. You're just in a good place because you're serving. And there's nothing better when you're serving the Lord and you're doing it. Can't nothing bother you, really. I mean, I'm not saying that you don't, the flesh don't kick in every now and then, or someone make you mad every now and then. That's just part of life. But for the most part, are you happy living for Christ? Are you happy in your house? Are you happy doing what God called you to do? Or are you only doing it for show? And what I mean by show, some people houses look good on the outside, but when you go inside, it's full of hell. And because they're not serving. They're not serving. We can ride around and look at houses, and in the process of looking at houses, me and my wife, we've seen a lot of beautiful houses on the outside. But when we went in on the inside, it was just too small. The room, you can't do this, you can't do that. And if you're going to give what the Lord, when you're walking with the Lord, he's going to give you room upon rooms and blessings upon blessings. And there's some houses that didn't look too good on the outside. You could tell that it needed some work on the outside, but when you got in on the inside, it was beautiful. You didn't even know they had a couple spare rooms here and there. And I said, that was a beautiful house on the inside. And there's some people who are beautiful on the inside that's been through some stuff, that's been through some wars and been through some – you can tell from the outside. But when you get to know them, you can tell they're beautiful people. So you never judge a book by its cover.
Amen.
You can never tell what someone is going through on the outside until you get to know them on the inside. And just because people look good on the outside don't mean that they're good on the inside. So what we're trying to say today, and as we move forward, is we need to be serving the Lord and knowing him. And I know that even with myself or my wife or whatever today, it's 5 years I've been clean from cancer. I didn't know that. I kind of forgot that this. I've been 5 years. I've been cancer-free. And it's a blessing because some people can't even tell I had it because of my outside. I look good on the outside. But even on the inside, you can hear me just jumping and praising the Lord because my body is healed. So even when a common cold or I don't feel good, I know I'm an overcomer because I've been through some things before. I've been through some battles before. And I'm going to keep serving him because serving him is what got me through 5 years ago. Serving him now is what's going to get me through the next 5 years. You know, it has nothing to do with what church you belong to, who you friends with, who my wife prayed to, or had nothing. It has everything to do with serving the Lord. And just let me take it a step further, and then I'm going to be quiet. When you're serving the Lord and you're doing with the Lord, you have an inner peace about yourself. No matter what kind of hell goes on around you, you're still at peace because you know who the Lord is, and you talking to him. And there's nothing better going through a situation talking to the Lord. I don't care how bad the situation is. If you're hearing the Lord's voice, the voice, and he's guiding you, it never looks that bad to you. It may to everybody else around you. Then you got to question their relationship. But as long as you got that relationship, it's not going to shake you or phase you the way it does other people who's watching you go through it.
You know, with that, a lot of the times, just speaking from past experience, if you don't feel free and you're bound by whatever circumstance that you're in, you won't serve to the best of your ability because you're not free. There's nothing like being free in the Lord. When you're free in the Lord, you can move about. You can serve him with gladness. You are on top of your game because you're free. Now, if you're in a situation where you got to watch what you say, you got to watch how you do it. You can't be too overly excited here, and you got to dim your light. Then that's a bad place to be. So, if you're in that, I pray that you ask the Lord for deliverance. And freeing you from the situation that you're in so you can be free in him. And as a servant of God, you have to be free. I'm going to read 1 Peter 2 and 16. It says, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. You have to clean up the mess. You can't be sneaking and doing this and doing that and thinking ain't nobody going to catch on. You're not free when you're doing that. If you backbiting, gossiping, and lying and doing running game, doing all this stuff, and call yourself serving the Lord, you feeding the homeless, you trying to go to the park and minister and hand out tracts, okay, what are you doing all that for if you're not free yourself? So you have to first clean up, you have to ask the Lord to clean up you first in order for you to be free to do the will of God. So on tonight, my prayer is that who's ever listening, if this is you, go before the Lord, ask for forgiveness, ask that he come in and clean up, help you in the areas that you need help in, because without being free, if you're in a, I'm just speaking from past experience, not present, but if you're in, even in, at a church where you can't be free to do, because people looking at you sideways like, it don't take all that, or you ain't got to do all that, you need to be free in the Lord. You have to be free in the Lord. To be a true servant of God, you have to be free in the Lord, because you got to give God glory in whatever that you do, and you can't give God glory half-hearted. You can't give him half a praise. No holds barred. You got to let go and let God. You can't be doing no half-stepping. So I wanted to add that to being free in the Lord. You got to be free. In order to be free, you have to be a servant. In order to be a great servant, you need to be free. No longer bound.
I didn't see that coming, but okay, that was excellent insight about being free. I don't, you kind of threw me off there with that one, because now I'm going somewhere. I hope I don't get in trouble where I'm going. But before I, my whole life I've been in church, and my whole life in certain periods of my life, people know me as Elder Oliver. Some people say Pastor Oliver, because I've served in that capacity before. So I've always been in the church. I've always been able to be free to be me. And when I got to Atlanta, with a new wife and everything new, one of the things I know I could lean on is going to church. I never had my hands cuffed in church. I've always been, you know, I've been in church. I've been able to serve the way that I wanted to serve. And when I got here, I was not able to serve the way I wanted to serve. And to each their own, and for whatever that reason was, it just bothered me spiritually that I could not serve like I had handcuffs on. All I was supposed to do was go to church, hear the word, and that's it. Don't participate. But when I was to participate, it was nothing that the Lord was telling me to do. It was something that the Lord was telling me to follow somebody else. And here, you want to go hand out tracts? These are the tracts. You follow us. Don't say nothing. They went to the prison. Then, not knowing my background, I worked in a prison. I was a chaplain in a prison. People don't know that about me because they don't have time to fellowship. So I know how to go to a prison and minister. But I can't go to a prison if I'm handcuffed. And they said, you can't say nothing. You just got to sit there and listen, like the inmates. Well, I cannot operate in that aspect of life. I just can't do it. And I was miserable. Go ahead, wife. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's a good point. Because if you know, a lot of people, I'm sure, like before the pandemic, everybody thought everything was normal with what they were doing. And then the pandemic hit, and it, personally, it's a time to reflect for you. It was a time to reflect to see if you was doing things the right way. And it's kind of like a point where you can check yourself. You had time alone. You had time to, you know, see if what you were doing was making sense. And the pandemic, horrible situation. Personally, it was a time for growth for me, and it was a freeing experience. So I shook off things that, you know, what I was just doing. I don't want to say out of habit, because I enjoyed doing what I was doing, but it was like I was in a box and only doing that little part, just like you just stated. You know, you just do this part. Don't say nothing over here. Don't do this over here, or you can't do that. But with God as a servant, you should be able to be free to do whatever the Lord called you to be, with respect to your leaders, with respect to the ministry that the Lord has placed you under. So, but
not so much, I don't want to make it a leadership or a membership situation, just a child of God, period. You should be able to be free. If I want to go to the mall and or to Walmart and talk about the Lord to the person that I meet in line, okay, I'm going to do that. I don't need nobody saying, oh, well, you shouldn't do that because you didn't do this and you didn't do. No, I'm going to be free to do what the Lord told me to do, how he tells me to do it. Let the Spirit of the Lord lead you, not man.
That's right.
Not man. Let me read one more scripture.
Go ahead.
It is Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to start at verse 6. I'm going to do 6 and 7. It says, well, I'm going to go back to 5 just to get an understanding. It says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not man. And I said that to say this. A lot of the times we do things for a show. We do things because somebody is watching, somebody is looking. It's time to come out from under that. If you don't like me, guess what? I don't care. I'm going to keep doing what the Lord is telling me to do, not for man, not for to get a praise from man, not for man's permission. It's all about what the Lord is telling you to do. Now, make sure you're hearing from the Lord and you're not doing this on your own. So when you do it, make sure you're seeking the Lord and not in your own will, but the Lord's will. And everything will be all right. With God, everything will be all right as long as you follow in his will. And do it like
Amen.
The Lord is watching you all the time. You know,
Amen.
Like your boss standing over you, breathing on your neck while you entering some data or you talking to somebody and they listen to every word. Do it like the Lord is watching. Now, you can make mistakes with the Lord and he will forgive you because you can ask him for forgiveness. So he's not a bully that's standing over you like, you better do this, you better do that. Do it wholeheartedly with the love of Christ. Be a great servant unto the Lord. So,
And like you were saying, it's not about being disrespectful to leadership. But at the same time, just because I know I got people listening to us that's in position and they feel like they're not qualified to do certain things, I'm going to tell you this, your salvation, your relationship with the Lord, I really don't care, I've been in with the Lord. I know what the Lord has called me to do. I talk to the Lord as well. And when you're in ministry and you're in church, I'm not suggesting this for everybody, but at some point you have to take the bottle out of your mouth and be led by the Spirit. And what I mean by that is sometimes when you're in public, you're at home, the Lord's going to be telling you to do things that has nothing to do with where you serve the Lord at. If I was waiting on the church to tell me what to do and when to do it, I'll be sitting there not prepared because I'd just be sitting there. But if you're listening and if you're in Bible study and you're getting the word and you're getting a relationship, because when you hear the word, that's how you build your relationship up with the Lord. It really has nothing to do with the church. Now, you're supposed to be in church to follow, to get the word, to have a relationship. But shouldn't nothing surprise you about your ministry outside the church? We go to church to get refilled like a gas station, get what you need, then you got to go out and do what God is telling you to do, whether it's in your home, whether it's in your community, whether it's on your job, whatever it is. And when you get the word, you're building up your relationship. Shouldn't nothing surprise you what the Lord is doing or what direction you're going in because you have that relationship. If someone was to come up to me, and every week it happens, someone want to prophesy to me about my future. I call it prophesy. Because as much word as I'm hearing the word, I'm not saying prophets are not can't prophesy a word over me, but I talk to the Lord too. And I have people around me. Sometimes someone will give me a word as confirmation. Sometimes in Bible study, it's a confirmation for something that the Lord is dealing with me with. There's really nothing new if I'm in the word consistently. Matter of fact, Jesus, and I'm just want to, and I don't want to confuse anyone. Jesus did things sometime. He broke the rules because that's the way he was led to do it. When he healed the leper man, he was supposed to send him to the priest. That was the law. But Jesus healed him anyway. And when you're being led by the Spirit and you know him and you know his voice, some things ain't going to make sense to some people. And I'm sorry for some pastors and stuff. Something ain't going to make sense that Brother Derek do because I have a relationship with him. I ain't saying I'm always right now. I don't want to think that to say when I say something is right. No, because sometimes my flesh gets in the way too. Sometimes I need to be checked. That's how you know you got good people around you, when they can check you when you think you're right. And then if you're hearing the Lord's voice, you're like, yeah, you're right. That's my bad. I saw this, and that's not what the Lord, I saw something I wanted to see. You know, all money is not good money. And a lot of people have been offered another, and I can say it, church wanted me to do Bible study on my chaos station, and they was willing to pay me. And I don't charge no one for anything, but I couldn't do it because I didn't believe in the same thing that they believed in. And I got to be held accountable what I put on my show because I have to know that, look, I have to give an account. For everything that comes on chaos, I have to give an account for it. Even though it ain't got nothing to do with the church on some levels, I still have to give an account for what I do and what I put out there. So for people that's a Seventh-day Adventist, I ain't saying all Seventh-day Adventists are bad. I'm not saying all Church of God in Christ people are bad. I'm not saying all apostolics are bad. I have to be accountable for what I do because I hear the same Lord. And I'm cool with a lot of different people. One of my good friends, and I'm going to share this and I'm going to be quiet. I used to work with him at General Motors, and he was a Catholic. And he believed in certain things, and I believed in certain things. But one day he came to work and said, man, I really got saved. And I was like, okay. And, you know, we hugged it out and we're like, good. But he would not leave the Catholic Church. I said, why are you going to stay there? He said, if I'm not here, who's going to explain to me the salvation message to some people who may need it? And I know some of the stuff, and I never did understand. And then it hit me. There are some people who believe the same, but they're not in the same, but they have the same, the end result is the same. And sometimes we have to be in a place because we're going to be the only preachers, the teachers, the only light in that dark place.
Amen.
And he got it. He understands it. And we can joke about certain things today because we're friends. But not only we're friends, we're brothers. I understand where he's coming from. He understands where I'm coming from. So we have a common, there's certain things we won't talk about. We already know what the truth is. He knows it. But his fight, his ministry is in a different realm than what mine is in. And it's funny because he's a Catholic. And we know what the Catholics believe. And it's funny, it's just when you know the Lord and you know him and you know his voice, it makes your life that much easier. Can't no one trick you, fool you about your walk, your relationship, and what you're doing. Someone asked me this week, why was I supposed to pass out food? Someone said, ain't that a little beneath you? Shouldn't you get some Amber Bears or someone to do that for you? And right there, I know where their head is. I didn't have time to go back and explain to them. But when you're serving the Lord, in any capacity, there's nothing too small for me. See, a lot of people won't do the hands-on stuff. They want to be there behind the pulpit where the people, you get the amens and the glory. Don't no one want to go out on the streets and talk fellowship with people who are struggling with something. So I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
They want to capitalize their efforts, make them their servant. Servitude higher than somebody else's, and that's not how it's supposed to be. We are all servants, little s's, all servants.
Right. So therefore, I can't get a big head.
Help me understand. You said your friend, he's Catholic, he got saved and he still remained in the Catholic Church to be able to minister to other people, to
right.
show them the light.
Exactly.
Is that what he was doing?
Exactly.
So
he grew up
with
there.
That, some people might not understand it. They'd be like, well, that don't make any sense. But guess what? When you do something that the Lord is telling you to do, it may not make sense to other people. Do what the Lord is telling you to do. At the end of the day, your soul will be required. Not worrying about somebody else's, what they're doing. If the Lord has him in that position to do what he's doing, let the Lord do what he's going to do. And I know I said this before, like a lot of the times you may be in a situation where you're in a household itself and they believe one way, and but you're learning more about the Lord and you're growing and you accepted the Lord into your heart, and you may not be able to show that outwardly because of the restraints of your household, but guess what? You can serve the Lord in your mind, in your heart. You can find time to do stuff alone for the Lord. I mean, there's a way, if you desire it, for you to be able to be a servant of Christ. And you can do that in all situations. And just because somebody might not understand the position that you're in, that's between you and the Lord. Keep doing what you're doing for the Lord, regardless of what people think, regardless of what people say. Just do what he tells you to do, because that's what's going to matter in the end. And nobody's going to be standing up there saying, oh, well, she said this, and that's why I didn't do. No, you have to do what the Lord is telling you to do. So be about your father's business. So,
and that's the thing.
That's pretty cool of your friend that, that's doing that.
And not only that, but I just want to clarify it. He's grew up there. His whole family's been there. It's not the fact that he want to shock them and just leave because they wouldn't understand. He could do more good being in there. And a lot of times people don't understand this. And the older I get, the more I see it. People understand what it is to be a disciple of Christ. They may not be doing it the way I'm doing it. Oh, I can't be a part of that. And that's me. And the Lord didn't build me for that. But other people, when you're out ministering, you have a lot of great people doing great things for the Lord. They may not do everything that I do, and I might not do everything that they do, but at the end of the day, we're following the same Christ. They're doing the same thing, and their objective is to be a light in a dark world. That's what I'm trying to do. Some people, you know, light shine differently than others, but it's the same light. And light shine in darkness, I don't care where you're at. And as long as they're doing it, and people are doing it, not just in the Catholics, you would be surprised how many Muslims really know the truth and really trying to change their circle of people into being believers of Christ and not believers of Muhammad or whoever they pray to. You would be surprised how many. It's not a lot. You don't hear about it a lot because you just don't, but you would be surprised. I don't want to get off into that, but I'm just saying, people who are serving the Lord, you never know where they're at, what they're doing, or where they may show up.
And like you said, don't judge a book by its cover. So
never
you just never know.
Never know.
It's because they don't look the way you think, like Rahab, prostitute. You didn't know she was doing what she was doing.
Exactly.
She was a helper. She was being a servant unto the Lord. So you just never know, and you can't just judge people based off of what you think and how you think it should go.
No, you shouldn't.
The Lord
can
use
like
whoever he wants, however he wants, whenever he wants.
Exactly. So there's certain people who may not hold a title in a church or could hold a title. Doesn't matter. They could be out ministering, saving more souls than the people that are sitting in the church, because people sitting in the church ain't doing nothing but playing church. But this person is out ministering, witnessing, helping, serving the Lord, can do it, and I can say pretty much like Michael Jordan, outside of the church, because they know how to talk to people. They're on their own rules. They're on their own setup. They're in their own pulpit.
Right, right.
Well, when you come to church, you got to deal with attitudes. You know, back in my day when we was coming up, you couldn't be in the pulpit. only certain people could be in a pulpit. If you was in a pulpit, you was higher than everything. Yeah, exactly. Right. So, but when you're serving the Lord, all that stuff, artificial stuff, doesn't matter. If you need to pray, you're going to pray right then and there. Some churches,
Amen.
you don't do certain things until the bishop comes out. Well, okay, I have a problem with that. Because who is the bishop? I understand he's the head, but if the Lord is moving right then and there and the Lord is telling you, you need to do what the Lord tells you to do. That's when you can be free. Don't be in no slave. You know, they say slavery is dead, but there's a lot of people that's in Christ that's in slavery and don't
Amen.
Even know it.
Amen.
Don't
Amen.
Even know. I know I'm talking about it tonight. I don't want to go
yes,
too deep into that.
Because I was one of those. But Amen.
You go to church and you do what the master say do. The master tell you to jump how high. I ain't talking about the Lord now. I'm talking about a man master. You ain't qualified to do this. Well, why make me not? Because you don't have the school book or the school knowledge. And I just want to say this, and I'm done. And I'm done. Last thing I'm going to say, I've been in church. Ooh, I'm going to be 50. So I've been in church. I accepted the Lord when I was 10. And I knew what I was doing when I accepted the Lord at 10. So I've been saved for 40 years. So by educational level, I have a long time invested in the Lord. And I know the Lord's voice. I also understand protocol and, you know, certain we got to do certain things decent and in order. I get it. But when the Lord tells me to move, believe you me, I'm not going to be disrespectful, but I'm going to move. And sometimes I have to be disrespectful. I'm just going to keep it out there with it. You know, we all family here. You just got to be disrespectful sometimes. Because if the Lord is telling you and pushing you to go right, and someone is telling you to go left, okay, we're not going to argue about the situation, but I'm going to continue to go right. And if you don't like it, then that's their problem. But I'm not going to be a punk and not go right because of what a certain group of people say. And I'm just going to leave that at that because now I'm getting into something totally more different. But
I want to go back to our beginning scripture. No one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. If I can go back to that scripture, you know, over the weekend we had a gas shortage. And the thing about the gas shortage, which was crazy, I was watching the news and you hear people saying, I went to so many gas stations and I couldn't find any gas. They were closed they only had diesel or whatever the situation is. Some people ran out of gas. Some people say, I'll buy some gas from you because I need to get to work. It was a situation where people were panicking because of the gas shortage. And when I thought about that, I'm like, okay, we don't know the hour when the Lord will come. I don't want to relate it to, well, I guess I do, like to the gas shortage. A lot of us woke up and it was like, oh, shoot, let's go get some gas. I was one of those people. I took my daughter's car, my husband took my car, and we went and got gas. The gas station was packed. So with that being said, it's kind of like we don't want to wait to the last minute and try and pray that we make it in, that we don't fall away and be subject to the world. We have to make sure that we are prepared for situations because we don't know when something will happen. And we don't know when we will be called upon to lead prayer or called upon to be able to step in and do something as it relates to the Lord. So we have to be prepared. We have to fill up our tanks, if I can say it that way. Fill up our tanks now while the gas is flowing freely because we just never know, you know, when we will be called upon. So don't get caught slipping. Don't get caught panicking, trying to rush and get your Bible and read every scripture possible to get your tank filled up. Keep your tank on full so there won't be a shortage in your spirit.
Amen. Amen. That's very well said. That's a good place to close. And just remember, you know, you have to fill your own spiritual tank. It's self-service. There's no more. You go and put it in full service. You know, they done away with that years ago. So you got to get it for yourself. And what I mean by get it for yourself,
You got to do it for yourself.
One of the things as a man that I hate for my wife to have to pump gas. Is for some reason it bothers me. Call me old school. I don't like it. It just bothers me. So I try. I'm not successful at it. Keep gas in the car all the time. That's probably one of our biggest arguments is who's going to put gas in the car. But a lot of times I don't mind putting it in.
I just don't want to pump it.
Right. That's the thing. Pumping gas is what I don't like her to do. It's to pump it. I will call her. She says she's going to the gas station. I will meet her at the gas station. So I will pump her gas. That's just the man in me to do that. But spiritually, she has to pump her own gas. She has to get it for herself. Yeah. I cannot do that for her and vice versa. She can't pump my gas and I can't pump her gas because now that becomes that, okay, she's going to do everything that I say. No, she has a relationship with the Lord. The Lord talks to her just as well as she talks to me. He talks to me. So sometimes when she's coming at me, I have to be, hold up. This is the Lord is trying to tell you something. So men, don't think that you just can run your wife. They can hear. God talks to them too. You just ain't the only one. Don't think they gotta. You gotta let them. And that's a subject for another day because there's a lot of people don't believe women should do this and do that. I'm not one of them.
A lot of people thinking that the women run it on regular and the men run it on premium, and that's not the
there
way
you
it
go.
Goes.
There you go. I like that. Because my wife does not run on, she does not run on unleaded. She is a, what do you call it, premium?
Premium, not regular.
Regular. She's premium. She's not regular.
Amen.
But some people got regular wise. I got a premium.
Okay.
Wise. What you got? I like that. I'm going to preach that one day. No, he just gave me that. When you said that, he just gave me something with that. No, because some people just do as other people tell them to do. And they want to, they go
just
to them.
Going with the flow.
With the flow. But when the Lord started talking to them, boy, I tell you, I'm done. I'm going to be quiet because I got something working right there. let me tell you about the, no, I'm serious. The Lord just gave me something with that. For those that are listening, we did something a little different. We're going in a new direction. A lot of times in the mornings at 11 a.m., you will hear chaos. That is me. That's my show. We'll be talking about different things at 11 a.m. We got a lot of new shows popping up coming forward in the morning time on our chaos side. And I know probably people know what you're talking about. We just got some new shows coming out. We got some new programming coming out. Wednesday morning, we have Vent Break. It's a new inspirational show that comes on Wednesday morning. You can tune in and listen to that on Wednesday. And also followed by that on some Wednesdays at 11 a.m., you will hear Chaos. Chaos Talk. I mean, I may be on. I may be talking about different subjects. Now, let me just say this, church folks. I got a lot of huge church people that follow me. When I originally started this chaos, it had nothing to do with church. And because I turned it totally over to the Lord, he has blessed me and opened so many doors. And I have to do some chaos shows. Just talking about relationships, and I'm going to be chaos about it, and I'm going to bring the Lord up in all the situations that we talk about. But just letting you know, we're getting bigger, we're getting better, and the Lord is just opening up doors. And I'm just thankful to be a part, and I can't explain it. And just because they want me to do more, it doesn't mean I'm going to do something and compromise what the Lord is blessing me doing in my everyday life. So I'm not going to be trying to bring a bunch of Catholic shows this, that, or the other. That's not going to happen. And I had a lot of people trying to do that. And I'm learning as I go. just stay focused, and the Lord will lead me to where I'm going. And with that being said, our regular weekly schedule is the same. Every Monday at 7 p.m. you have D&K Bible Break. On Tuesday you have Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. Bishop Omar Zachary, my pastor, is the bishop, our pastor. Elder Richard Taylor, he's the overseer of the Tuesday night Bible study with the elders, deacons, and evangelists on that team on Tuesday night. Wednesday night, I have Elder George Bazaar, Watchman on the Wall. Thursday, Bishop Omar Zachary Ministries is on at 7 p.m. Friday night, we have overseer Timothy Jackson, Freestyle Friday, and also overseer Timothy Jackson out of Dallas, Texas. That's going to be our next home. We're expanding to Texas starting the first of sometime in July. We should have that all wrapped up. He's going to be doing the same thing I'm doing, but he's going to be doing it over in Texas. So we're networking and we're getting bigger. And he has his Saturday show, Spiritual Sense of Life, every Saturday at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Central Time. And then we're right back here on Sunday morning with Praise Tabernacle Church, Bishop Omar Zachary, ministries at 9 p.m. Now, that's our normal schedule. Now we're going to our daytime schedule. And our daytime schedule is you're going to hear a lot more of Chaos with me truly. And we're going to adopt our first new program going into the summertime with Vent Break by Vanessa Bluett. She will be running the show, giving everyone Wednesday morning. She was on our show this morning just to give a little guideline on what we're going to be doing. She's going to be giving a encouraging word on the morning to get you going. If you had a good week, she's going to keep it going better by giving you a word. If you had a bad week, the word is going to uplift you to keep you going. I'm excited about it, and that will be on this coming Wednesday at 8 a.m. Same online station, same phone number. It's just going to be in the morning. And then next Monday morning at 11 a.m., you will hear yours truly doing another Chaotic Monday. And whatever the Lord lead our topic to be that Monday, that's what we're going to talk about. So come join me. All you got to do, and I love Blog Talk, because all you got to do is dial the phone number, 845-277-9094. And then that's what you got. Wife, anything you want to say before I get out of here?
I just want to encourage everybody to be premium and servants of God. Don't be regular. There's nothing regular about our God. He's awesome. Be a true premium servant of the Lord. That's all I want to add.
Amen.
And have a blessed week, everybody.
Yeah, have a great week. We'll see you back tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the word that was brought tonight. Father, hopefully that listeners heard what we were trying to say. Father God, we just ask that if anyone out there that need Christ, that needs you, Lord, we ask that you touch them right now, Father God. Father God, if they're confessing you right now, Father God, let them know that all they have to do is confess you and, Father God, believe in you. And, Father God, that you will clean them up. And, Father God, that's all they have to do, and they will be saved. Father God, we just ask that you just touch anyone right now, Father, that's calling out your name. Father God, we just want to thank you for everything that you're doing. Thank you for the listeners, Father God. Thank you for the opportunity. Father God, if there's anything in me and Kay that's not like you, we ask that you clean us up from it right now, Father God. Known and unknown things, Father God. Father God, I ask that you just continue to bless us, continue to fill us, Father God. Restore us right now, Father God. And for all the listeners, Father God, touch them, Father God. Touch their families, Father God, and Father God, just let them know that you are the way, the truth, and the light. We say these things. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Good night, everyone.
Amen.
We'll see you tomorrow
night
at 7.
We want to go back to the old school for a minute. Hand clapping and toe tapping. We want to visit our friends over in Chicago.